thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it. My audience appreciates it.
I appreciate being here and having the opportunity to empower another thousands to empower another thousands to be happy. So thanks for the opportunity.
All right, let's get into it, man. So listen, it's no secret that you've coached and advised some of the highest performers in business and sports over the years. What is the most common thing that actually holds them back?
Their past. So it's the meaning of the past that limits their self-image. Even though they're super successful, they're giving a meaning that's not aligned with their potential, with their divine direction. And so I work a lot on what meaning are you giving the failures, setbacks, and mistakes, the defining moments, the historical relevances in your life that make you feel like an imposter, that make you feel as if you're not who people think you are or as good as they think you are. These are for the highest performers. And so if I can change and align the meaning of the past to their divine direction, I get exponential performance results, regardless of whether it's physical, mental, spiritual, whatever it is the limitation of the meaning of the path that holds these people back. Because the common denominator in contrast to that, is that all of them have another common denominator. They all limit themselves by the meaning of the past, but they all have a desire that they must be what they can be. So I haven't met one of my high performers, and I'm talking about world famous high performers, chairmen of Gulf Oil, Hall of Famers, you know, musicians, Golden Globe and Oscar winners that I work with. They all have a desire that they must be what they can be, and they all limit themselves with the meaning they give their past.
I'm going to riff a little bit. You talk a little bit about presence. I've seen this and being grounded. How do you balance that with an intense desire to succeed?
It's the biggest misunderstanding that people have when you talk about surrender. If you read Michael Singer's Surrender Experiment, because they can't decipher the difference between pursuing your potential and surrendering to the evidence that doesn't exist or contrary to where you want to be. And so for me, I think the only free will that we have in conflict or contrast to that reconciliation between surrendering and busting your balls, excuse my language, is the reconciliation of the free will of stopping. So I categorize things as, is this activity, is this behavior aligned with where I think I want to be or better, or is it interfering with it? And if it's interfering with it, if what I do, what I'm doing, saying, thinking, feeling, or believing is interfering with where I think I want to be or better, the only free will I have is to stop, to drop, to surrender, to recollect, remember, and remind myself with my higher self, my higher source, your God, and then roll into the divine direction in which I had already attributed my day to. And what I simply put is a lesson my mom taught me: when your mind, body, soul are on fire, you're interfering with your potential. And when you're on fire, you got to stop, you got to drop, surrender, and roll back into your divine direction.
I love that, man. So I've heard you say this before. I've seen your stuff, and I think you phrased it as our potential exists, but the real work is removing that interference. So what is the most common interference that you see in leaders and high performers?
Usually it's a separation. And when I say that, I mean they're separate from whatever they're trying to be or become. And so it formulates in a response to the reaction to fear. We automatically react to fear, but the response to it is usually a need to be right, a need to be offended, a need to be separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, or worried. And so understanding that those are instant and obvious things in our lives that we ignore and that send us in the wrong trajectory. When you have a need to be offended, you are not pursuing your potential. When you're worrying, not only are you not pursuing your potential, but you're wishing for what you don't want. So there's all these duplicative interferences and negatives that exist. And so it all, for me, can be defined as separation from the more than enough that you exist in, the more than enough of everything for everyone, the infinite, abundant, unified system of thought that we all belong to. It is truly an infinite amount of inspiration, energy, intellect, intuition. You know, I joke around because I'm known to be a very high energy guy. I'm 57. I'm turning 58 on January 11th. So soon coming, I'll be 58 years old. And I have professional athletes, current ones, who shadow me for a day, because that's the best way to learn from Dave Meltzer. You spend a day from 4 a.m. until 9 p.m. with me. That's the deal. But by 4 p.m., they're sleeping in the backseat of my car. They've run out of energy. And it's not because I have more energy than a professional athlete. It's they're interfering with the infinite amount of energy that we all have more than I am. So although they're in much better shape, stronger, faster, taller, all the things that they are, they're interfering all day long with the energy that I am accessing. And so I have more energy and use more energy than they can, even though their bodies are built to utilize it better than mine.
So can you help us? Maybe there's a first step or something that our listeners or viewers at home can do to identify and start to remove an interference that they recognize?
Yeah. So let's define first the human experience from the heart. It's defined as the time your heart starts till it stops. It's divided by God's guarantee of 24 hours. And so the first thing that you want to do to help yourself is mitigate God's laughing at you, because the biggest cause of fear is uncertainty, and uncertainty exists every single day. If we were certain about tomorrow, there'd be a far less fear. Fear evokes the ego, which responds or reacts to the fear. And then that's where we create the interference to it. So the first step is to say, what are my non-negotiable behaviors every day? No matter what the circumstances are, no matter what presents itself, what is most important to me? So for me, I spend 12 hours a day, most of it sleeping, as a priority, as a non-negotiable behavior, that no matter what the interest rates, the weathers, the arguments, God laughing at me and my well-developed plans, that I'm going to get a minimum amount of time sleeping, on my health, with my family, on my finance, on my faith, on the study of time, and the study of relativity and the meaning of that time. So that's half of my day that is guaranteed to be non-circumstantial and non-negotiable. So when God laughs at me, I have plenty of time for him to laugh at me on the other 12 hours. And now my job is to prioritize all the stuff that I should have, could have, would have got done, or all the stuff that distracts me from what's really most important, which is my sleep, my health, my family, my finance, my faith, the study of time and study of relativity. In other words, 90% of the super successful people, their success comes from non-negotiable behaviors that no matter what, they're doing every day of their life. Because 2 minutes a day in physics, metaphysics, and quantum physics is worth 2 hours on a Saturday. They're called empty milers. The people that do it every day are the empty milers. What most people are with good intention are called extra milers. They go the extra mile every once in a while, and then they use that to justify why they're not successful. Oh, you know, I studied for Spanish 16 hours for the test, when the kid who studied 15 minutes a day was guaranteed an A.
And so this kind of bleeds into the next question about values. You talk a lot about these values and choosing them over goals. But what happens when people choose goals without defining their values?
Yeah, they create resistance in their life. And, you know, what happens is, I'll be happy when is a horrible methodology in life. And I did that with money. I'll be happy when I'm a millionaire, 5 million, 10, 20, 30, up to 100. And I ended up with a God-sized hole that I was filling with everything but God. And that's a really bad place to be. And so it's not only that wisdom, but the faith that it takes in order to concentrate not on I will be happy when, but instead for the sake of what. When I shifted my paradigm for the sake of what, people ask me all the time, why do you say you want to make a lot of money first? I'm like, because there's two man-made constructs that don't follow the natural progression of the more you give, the more you receive. The more love you give, the more you receive. The more generosity you have, the more you receive. The more kindness you give, the more you receive. But with money and time, the more time you give, it doesn't give it back to you automatically. It's in a different man-made construct. The more money you give, the money doesn't come back automatically. That's why some of the most generous, kind people with their money don't have any money. Like my mom, you know, died broke because she was a second grade teacher that literally used our food stamps when we were so broke to buy pencils for her second grade class. And she thought God was going to give her her money back. No, God has nothing to do with money. God is energy, and God has nothing to do with man-made constructs. So in order for you to effectuate God into these man-made constructs, you have to follow God's laws, which is the more you give, the more you'll be given. And when we're given, we need to use gratitude, accountability, and forgiveness and inspiration to acknowledge what we're given and receive it. Because when we receive help and when we receive things, we're actually giving to the person, because a person who gives us something is able and capable of helping us. And we feel at our higher self when we're able and capable of helping others. So if you're not receiving and you're not acknowledging all that you're given, you're cheating those people. You're hurting them by not receiving what they're giving you. And then the biggest form of faith on earth is to ask or pray for more. You're telling God, I believe you, brother. There's more than enough of everything for everyone. So I am going to ask for it for the sake of giving more, being given more, receiving more, and asking for more than more. So instead of living in this terrible zero-sum game of man-made constructs where we give more, expect more back, but we receive less, when you give more and receive less, you're going to end up at zero eventually. Instead, if you give more, given more, receive more, and ask for more than more, you end up in the world of more than enough of everything for everyone for the sake of helping others and for being happy or having fun or enjoying your life. Fill that God-sized hole with God, and I promise you will make more money, help more people, and have more fun in your life.
Is this one of those things that comes up as a resistance for people not knowing or not being able to see this in their past?
So good, right? Is with most of our lives, the immediate evidence is contrary to where we want to be. And so we quit. And because we make it relative to the meaning of the past that, you know, I've done all the work and yet I'm not where I'm supposed to be. That's because things happen very slowly. Then all of a sudden things aggregate, accelerate, and compound. That's why I love the rule of 72 in finance, because to me, it's quite illustrative of behavior. It's illustrative of every energy beyond money, that you're not going to see any results until you're at least 50% of the way there. In fact, when the biggest challenges arrive, you're closest to success. And so most people, because it takes 90% of the time, right, to get to literally 50% of the way there, then another 5% gets you to, 25% of the way, 90% of the time. Then it doubles to 50% in 5% more of the time. Then it doubles to 100. Things happen very slowly. So the evidence from 0 to 90% is not aligned. It's not even there, or it's contrary. And then everybody's voices get in your head and you lose your faith and you create more and more resistance attached to an outcome that's going to come if you focus in on the behaviors to get there and tell yourself that I'm doing my best, learning lessons and having fun. As long as I stick to the consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential, I'll realize my potential or better.
David, what's a truth that took you years to fully understand but changed everything for you once you did?
Ask for help. Humility, my favorite quote, you're either humble or you're about to be. And I thought it wasn't humble to ask for help. And that paradigm has shifted in my life, that the most humble thing you can do is to ask for help, to find people that sit in the situation that you want to be in, and they will give you directions there. And then you're able to help other people get to where they want to be. And so for me, I wish I would have learned to ask for help at a younger age, to live in humility and remind myself that I'm either humble or I'm about to be. And just so you know, in humility, I'm still reminding myself, when my mom passed away, I was dumb enough to say I was going to be able to handle it. I got this. I had a beautiful ending to our relationship, got to say goodbye. And when I found out 12 hours later she had passed, after getting to say goodbye, you know, she remembered who I was. I could not get up. I still, you know, it's been 5 months. I still have a hole. It hurts so bad. And I reminded myself, I don't got this. I'm either humble or I'm about to be. And that was the most humbling experience in my recent years, my mom passing to me, to think that somehow I had this under control, and I don't.
thanks for sharing that. And I'm sorry to hear about your mom. How do people not wait for a catastrophic life event to realize something like this?
Behaviors, you know, the idea of my stop, drop, and roll. I'm very cognizant on my behaviors. I'm constantly asking, am I doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing? These are the accumulation of intentional behavior aligned with where I think I want to be or better. And the easiest and safest mechanism I use are these non-negotiable behaviors because I don't have to plan for it, right? My behaviors are set regardless of circumstance, sleep, health, family, faith, finance, the study of time and study of relativity. Now, the other 12 hours get a little bit challenging. That's where I got to be humble. The ego gets in the way. Circumstances change. I get worried, angry, frustrated. The difference is I don't spend days, weeks, months, and years in that interference. I'm really good today. I spend minutes and moments. You know, when I'm mad, minutes and moments. When I'm resentful or guilty or worried, minutes and moments. I used to spend days, weeks, months, and years accelerating in the wrong direction. Now, minutes and moments in the wrong direction or interfering with where I want to be. Hmm. And it took 20 years of practice, by the way. So people, this is not an overnight thing. This is a lifetime practice. It makes progress. There will never be perfect.
Thank you. I know we only have a couple of minutes left. I want to be respectful of your time.
Thank you.
So what's one question you wish more people would ask you?
Well, besides for help, you know, I give my phone number, my email address, and people are like, oh, you made a mistake. There's 4,000 people here. You're going to get bombarded. No, they don't ask. For me, I wish they would ask me more about my dummy tax. You know, everybody wants to know how to be successful, but they don't ask me what did I do to interfere with my potential. You know, they think this happened overnight. And I wish they would say, like, tell me about when you were in high school. You know, what were some of the things that you did that interfered with your success at 57? Or, you know, what would you do in this situation? Could you do, should you do, would you do, or even who do you know? And so I've based my entire mentorship, coaching, and teaching, not just for the highest performers, because I give free Friday trainings, free Wednesday training. I'm the chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute. And I have a bucket to help everyone with what could I do, should I do, would I do, or do you know somebody that could help me? Hmm.
I desperately want to sit down and talk to you for hours, but I know we can't just yet. All right, so we'll move to wrap it up. Again, being respectful of your time, I want to make sure we get moving here. I do want to say thank you first and echo what you said earlier in the episode, which was, you know, basically to the tune of we can't lend our time, we can only give it. And so what I hope to do is take what you've shared with us today and give it to others, because that's the only way that I can make your time here valuable with me. So thank you for that, of the utmost gratitude, you know, for that. That being said, where can people find you, David, and what else?
First, thank you. Two, I'd like to invite you to come on some of my shows as well so that we can share this conversation and I can be more interested than interesting and allow myself to learn from you because what you're doing is so important to me. Two, I'm on a mission to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. And the best starting point to that is to share my book with people. And so I'd like to offer your community my book, Connected to Goodness. I will sign it, send it to you, pay for shipping, pay for the book. Don't worry, there's no hidden free shipping costs or any handling at all. Please let me give you the gift of my dummy tax, my experience, key elements and lessons that I've learned. So just email me directly, david@dmeltzer.com. David means beloved. At D, my first initial, Meltzer means servant. So if you forget it, just remember beloved D servant. That's me, david@dmeltzer.com. And we will do this again. I appreciate you respecting our 20-minute rule, but we are repeat offenders. And when we find people at our frequency, we share content, shows, IG lives, office hours, two-minute drill, TV shows, masterminds. You're going to get so many invitations, but not obligations. Anybody that wants to be invited or informed, david@dmeltzer.com. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, David.
God bless you.